How is everyone this morning? Doing better? Man, it's been a pretty good week so far for me. And I'm looking forward to the chili cook-off tonight. I've already got the place where I'm going to put the trophy, the house. I'm kidding. I'm looking forward to it. This morning, though, one of my friends, Homer, had to bail on us tonight as a judge because he is not feeling well. So he said he would still come up and go ahead and eat some chili if I really, really needed him, but he's not feeling good at all and didn't want to do that. So, but I'm still looking forward to a really good chili cook-off tonight. So these last few weeks, we've been looking at a confident Christian life, and we started off by looking at confidence in salvation, and then we moved into confidence in fellowship, our fellowship with God, and then we moved into confidence through confession last week, and just getting the trash out of our hearts that we keep there and want to hang on to. And then this week we're going to be looking at another, what I would say is a difficult call that we've got, and that's confidence through our obedience. And whenever I started looking at this and thinking about, you know, how do we build confidence through obedience, and started studying, I was like, this is going to be like a really, really tough one. I know that there's some people that like obedience. Yeah, that's like a really tough part of being a follower of Christ. It's a difficult part. And then there's other people like, it's not so difficult to obey Jesus. You know, you just got to love people, and I do that. That's easy to do. Then there's other people who are like, yeah, you know, we should be obedient to God, but we don't really have to bother with that because as long as we believe that He died on the cross for our sins, then, you know, it doesn't really matter whether we're good or bad or whatever because we're forgiven. We've all heard that before, right? Yeah. So I want to kind of build up to where I think the message is today, but I have to start back a little bit, and I'm going to summarize some stuff. And if we've been studying the story of God in the morning Bible studies, then there's going to be some people that are kind of or familiar with this stuff. So I want to kind of build up on obedience and look at some things, and then we'll go into what I want to talk about today. But if we've been following that story, then we know that a long, long time ago, God created the entire world and all the heavens and the earth and everything. And while He was doing that, the angels watched and they rejoiced and sung praises to Him as He was doing that because they were excited about how He could be so creative and make things work the way that He did. But there was one angel named Lucifer, that means bright morning star, and he decided that he wanted to put his throne up above where God's was. He wanted the angels to worship him instead of being worshipful towards God. So he convinced a third of an innumerable amount of angels to follow him. And then God just had to give them the boot because they were being disobedient and rebellious towards him. So he kicked them out and kicked them down to earth. And then God created Adam and Eve, and while he created them, and he said, hey, you guys can have everything on this entire earth. Like, you get to name all the animals, you get to have all the food that you want, you can eat from all these trees, you can even eat from this tree here that's going to let you live forever. Every time you eat from that, you're just going to get more and more life. But the one thing you can't do is eat from this tree right over here. You can't have from that one, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, because if you do, you're going to die. So you've got the tree of life that's going to let you live, and you've got the tree of death that's going to make it to where you die. And Adam and Eve boldly decided they were not going to eat from that tree, but then they went ahead and did it anyway, right? They sinned against God right then. Even though they had everything right in front of them, they still decided, hey, I want to try this out anyway. And Satan convinced them that that was the right thing to do, that they could be like God if they ate from that tree. So they decided to go ahead and do that. And so then God kicked them out of the Garden of Eden, cast them out. They no longer had access to the tree of life, so their bodies were going to begin to die. And they learn from that lesson, and then that's why we're so perfect today, right? Okay, so we're not. So from that time, people just kept on sinning. Even Cain and Abel. Cain killed Abel and was cast out. God was merciful towards them over and over and over again. He let them continue to live and show mercy to these people. And then there's all these times that we can look at in the Old Testament that people just continued to disobey God. They continued to grow more and more wicked, so that whenever it comes up to the time of Noah, God decided He was going to destroy everything, like just destroy it all. But He found something that He liked in Noah. And so He saved Noah and his family and a remnant of the animals, and then destroyed everything else on the earth. And then everything was perfect after that, right? No, they still, even with all that, they still just kept on being disobedient. And that just continues. There's like a roller coaster in the Old Testament of being obedient and then not being obedient. And it just keeps on going until we finally come to the time of Jesus. And once Jesus was born, people recognized him and decided that they were going to start becoming perfect, right? Still didn't happen that way. Even during Jesus' time, they were still a mess and not wanting to be obedient to God. So if we're believers, then we believe that that Jesus was the Son of God, that he was God himself in the flesh, come down here to this earth sent to pay for our sins. But if we're not believers, then we may just believe that, you know, maybe he didn't exist, or if he did, he was just a great teacher or preacher or something like that. There was nothing special about him other than just this great teaching during his time. But people just continued to disobey, even with God like right there in front of him. People just kept on sinning against God, disobeying what he told them to do, and he was there to teach them how to live this perfect life. It was crazy to me that even with all the different things that we can read in the Old Testament that they saw and all the miracles that Jesus did while he was here, the people just kept on lying, murdering, coveting. They were being prideful. They had all these different things that they just continued to do, even though they saw the signs of God that was right there from parting the sea and all these big things, but they kept on messing up, and that's just crazy to me. But so then I'm looking at all these different things. I'm looking at these people that were obedient and then not obedient and living their lives the way they were. God just kept on giving them more and more chances, and they just kept messing up. So I'm like, well, where is it that we can build confidence through obedience to God? So if we're a believer in Jesus Christ, then we know he was the Son of God that was sent to earth to live this sin-free, perfect life. And then, like the prophet Isaiah said in Isaiah, and that was about 700 years before Jesus was born, that he would be killed, and that when he was killed, there would be no bones broken. He would be pierced, and then Jesus was actually hung on a cross, and he died at the hands of the Romans under the influence of the Pharisees of the time, of the Jewish leaders. And Jesus was put up there on the cross, and then they didn't have to break his bones. And where the bones breaking comes in is whenever you were put up on a cross, if you read there's like a medical thing of it, and people are hanging up on this cross, and after a while their lungs start to fill up with fluids, and so they have to like push up on the nails in their feet and pull up on their hands just to get a breath of air to where they can breathe a little bit. And then they sag back down, just hanging there and just writhing in pain. And so what they would do whenever it was time for them to go ahead and need to go on is they would break their legs. They would come up there with a hammer and break their legs, so they were forced to hang, and they couldn't pull up their weight anymore on their shoulders, so their lungs would eventually fill up and they would suffocate, is how people would die. But they didn't do that to Jesus. He was already dead when they arrived there to see that. But they did pierce his side, so he was pierced, like Isaiah said. And if you remember it right, the water came out and blood came pouring out of his side. Just like Isaiah said was going to happen. It was a neat thing to see that kind of prophecy. And we believe that he died just like any other human being would die here on earth, but we also believe that he died as a sacrifice for us. And then he died as a sacrifice for any of us in this room if we actually believe that Jesus Christ was the promised Messiah that came to the Jewish people. And this morning we actually got to study more on the agreement that God had with them, how the things that were happening with the Passover was like a foreshadowing of what was to come. So that was some pretty cool stuff to get to learn. So he died as a sacrifice for us if we believe in him, but we also believe that 3 days later God raised him from the grave and he was alive again. So he defeated death, unlike the other people before and since then. Jesus was actually able to defeat death by God bringing him back to life again. And then 500 people, it records 500 people standing there that saw him as he was going to ascend to heaven. Before that, the disciples saw him, many different people saw him along the way, and Paul had an experience with Jesus. So a lot of different things happened, and then he was standing there ready to ascend into heaven. And I'm getting a little bit ahead because we believe that whether our society considers us good people, that every one of us are born with a sinful nature, right? We're all prone to mess up and make mistakes and be disobedient to God, just like the Jewish people were from that time on, the people that left them and started messing up. And we also believe that if we don't turn our lives over to Jesus, and believe in Him that there is a destination past our lifetimes here that God created for Lucifer and for his fallen angels, the angels that decided to follow him. That's what hell, I believe, was created for, and it's for any follower of Satan. And the Bible teaches there can only be one master. It can be God or it can be Satan, and we're choosing. And if we choose Satan, we're going to be one of his followers that's going to spend our eternity in hell. And that's a scary thing to me to even think about, that that's a possibility. And I don't want to see anybody have to go down that road, and that's why it's important that we let everybody know about this gospel message of Jesus Christ that we can have. So we believe as believers in Jesus Christ that his blood that was poured out that day almost 2,000 or a little, around 2,000 years ago, that we're able to call ourselves adopted children of God, and that we've got a home waiting for us in heaven in God's presence, the Creator himself. We believe the things that Jesus said were important, right? I mean, there's some versions of the Bible that they make the font color red where Jesus spoke. Any of you guys have a red-lettered Bible? So someone's got a red-lettered Bible. So it's so important that they wrote it in red to where we know that these are the words of Jesus himself, that he's the one that spoke these words, and we would put importance on these words of Jesus. So now that we've kind of covered that, we've covered why we mess up, we're up to the point where Jesus is talking, he's standing there, and he is ready to ascend to heaven, and now we're going to get started into the message today. I want to look at Matthew 28, 19 and 20. This is the last scriptures in the book of Matthew, and this will be the basis of all of today's message on obedience and how we can find confidence in that. He says, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." That passage is very familiar to all of us Christians. We call it the Great Commission. That's what Jesus told us we had to go out and do, and it's used for discipleship a lot. But the part that I want to focus on today is where it says that we need to teach these disciples to obey everything that Jesus has commanded. What are some of the things that he may have commanded? And there's several things. There was a whole list, and I think whenever Randy was here, I did an overwhelming message of what seemed like 2 hours of all these different things that Jesus said, and I don't want to do that today because I want to look at more of an overview of why it's important to be obedient to him in different areas of our life while we're trying to walk this confident Christian life. So what I want to kind of do is I want to look at a story in the Old Testament of obedience and disobedience and the results of that, and I want to look at one in the New Testament, and then I want to look at present day things that we can see to learn what obedience to God may result in. In the Old Testament, I wanted to look at Noah or at Moses, and we actually talked about him a little bit today. Was that last week? My brain is all mixed up. So Moses, whenever he obeyed God, he was out. You know, he had grown up. His parents were Jewish. They had sent him out into a stream, and the Pharaoh's daughter found him, took him in as her own son. He was raised by the Egyptians, and then in his early age, he found out that he was one of the Jews, and he didn't like the treatment of the Egyptians towards one, and he ended up murdering one of the Egyptians. So he ran away way out in the country somewhere, and he ended up meeting his wife there, and they had kids and all these things. And then one day he's out tending to his flock, and while he's out there tending to his flock, he sees this bush that's burning. And so he goes out there, and he couldn't figure out why this bush was burning, but it wasn't actually, you know, turning to ashes or anything. It was just, you know, not being consumed. It was just burning. So God starts to speak to him at this bush, tells him, "Hey, I'm going to send you into Egypt again, and you are going to be the one that brings the Israelites out of 400 years of slavery." They'd been there for 400 years. So he argues a little bit with God, tells him he's not the right person for this job, and all these things. He can't speak right, and God says, "This is what you're going to do." So he goes there, and they go through all these plagues and all these different things, and then he eventually leads the Israelite people out of 400 years of persecution. So by being obedient to what God says, he got to witness all these miraculous things that were happening. They weren't good. They were plagues on the Egyptian people because Pharaoh didn't want to listen to him. But then after he takes them out and they get to the Red Sea and it's being blocked off, he gets to see God split the waters to where they can walk on dry land through there and then close up on the Egyptians whenever they were coming through there. And then there were more and more miracles that they got to witness. And then the people, even though they could see, you know, all these things that happened whenever they're in Egypt, and they come out and they're crossing the sea and they see the water split and they see all these miraculous things, they start grumbling. You're just bringing us out here in this desert, and we're all going to die of thirst and hunger, and they're just being really whiny. And so God tells Moses that he needs to go and speak to this rock, and water would come out of it. And so Moses and Aaron go up, and they tell the people, "What do we need to?" Let me look at Numbers. Sorry, I should have brought this up there. It's Numbers 20:10. There we are. Numbers 20, and look at verse 9. First, and Moses took the staff from before the Lord, and as he commanded him. Then Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly before the rock, and he said to them, "Hear now, you rebels, shall we bring water for you out of this rock?" And Moses lifted up his hand and struck the rock with his staff twice, and water came out of it abundantly, and the congregation drank, as did their livestock. So he went out. God said, "Speak to this rock, and if you speak to it, then water is going to come out of it." And he went out instead and tapped it a couple times. Do you guys know what his punishment was for disobedience to God at that time? Yep. He was never able to enter the promised land either. He had to stay outside of it. He got to see it, but he didn't get to go out there. But that was his punishment. So we can see that whenever he obeyed God, he saw miraculous things. Whenever he was disobedient to God, he ended up being punished in a way that would just be terrible. They could have probably just gone right over there if they weren't disobedient. But it was the plan that God had set before him. So we can look at this as confident in obedience. If we're obedient, then we see the great things that God did before Moses and the miraculous things that he got to see whenever he lived a life of obedience. But whenever he was disobedient, it didn't go so well. Now I want to look at the New Testament, an example in the New Testament. Whenever I was thinking about this, I thought of a couple different people, but I decided to go with Peter, because Peter was a great follower of Jesus. You may remember, you know, he walked with Jesus for the entire time. He was one of the first disciples called, and he followed along with Jesus. He saw miracles. He had Jesus send him out and witness all of these miracles. They were laying hands on people and all these great things. And then whenever it comes time to test his faith, Jesus is walking on the water towards a boat, and he tells Peter, "You know, come on out with me." And so he steps out of the boat and maybe gets like a step, and then he goes, "Oh man, I'm walking on water. I'm not going to be able to do this." So his faith started lacking, and so he ended up sinking down into the water, and Jesus had to put out his hand and raise him back up out of the water. But he got to see Jesus walking in the water and all these different miracles. And then as it comes to the end of Jesus' life, and the Pharisees had started their way of going after Jesus they had picked him up in the garden, and they were working towards crucifying him. And Peter was told by Jesus that he was going to deny him three times before even the next morning. Like, "I'm just now leaving you. Before even the rooster crows in the morning, you're going to deny me three times." Was that true? So he didn't have all that stuff. He didn't get to witness anything great, because he was denying Jesus, who he knew was the Son of God. But then Peter repented of that, and whenever Jesus came back out of the tomb and he started following Jesus and started wanting to live an obedient life, we can remember all the different things, especially in Acts, where the room like fills up with this wind and licks of fire come down on top of all these people, and they start speaking in these foreign tongues, to where the people that were outside there were able to hear them in their own language and hear them praising God and singing glory to God. And it was an awesome thing that he got to witness. And then he also got to witness things like, you may remember whenever Peter and John, I think it was, they were walking into the temple one day, and there was a lame guy that had been lame forever, and he was there begging silver and gold and asking for money, and that's how they would survive. They set out there begging. Whenever I was over in Israel not very long ago, right by the temple wall, there's people out there right now that are sitting there begging for shekels right by the wall. There's beggars everywhere over there. But he's walking in. There's that guy there, and he says, I don't have any money, but this is what I have. And he reaches out his hand and says, stand up and walk in the name of Jesus. And the guy stood up and started walking and was amazed at what had happened. So I think about his obedience to what God is telling him to do and what he got to witness that day. Because how much faith does it take to reach out your hand to somebody and say, stand up and walk in the name of Jesus, and believe that that person is going to stand up and actually start walking? Now, the guy had to have his own faith, I believe that, but he had the faith to stand up and walk also. But man, how tough would that be to just look out there and see this guy and say, hey, if you take my hand and stand up and believe, you're going to be able to walk. I don't think that I could do that. I know that I can't do that because I'm about to get into that. So now I want to look at some things in like the present day. We've had a couple of examples of what obedience to God looks like and getting to see these miraculous things in front of them because of their obedience to God. We all say that God was the same yesterday, he's the same today, and he's going to be the same forever. Do we all agree with that? But do we really, really, really believe that God can still do the same miracles that he did back then? And the thing that comes to mind whenever I say that and ask that question is, whenever we see one of the faith healers on television, what's the first thing we think? It's fake, right? We look at that and we're like, man, they're paying people in the audience, they're doing something. We don't there's like a disconnect there between what God can do and what we think is possible, even though in the Bible we believe that God says that what man may find impossible is not impossible for God. God can do anything. But yet we see these things taking place and we want to find other ways to reconcile it and make it make sense in our minds, because we have a hard time seeing how God can do that kind of thing. But I believe myself that miracles happen all the time. Miracles are there. God's still performing them every day on people's bodies. He's healing them. People are going in to see doctors, and where they had cancer, they're cancer free. There's all these things still happening today, but we want to have this disconnect, and we're not thinking about those kinds of things. So I want to kind of admit myself one of my mess ups right here in this very room. It's been a few years ago. And we were having a men's event here, and I was back there running the video and stuff like that. It was a fun time. There were guys here. They had brought some friends here, and there was a guy there that he needed healing. And I sat back there during one of our times of prayer, and I started hearing God tell me to go down and pray for this guy, and we would be able to witness a miracle that day. He was in a wheelchair, and I sat there thinking, there's no way I'm not going to look silly in front of all the other guys. I don't want to look dumb. But the more that I prayed, the more that I felt like God really, really, really wanted me to go down there and pray for this guy, and that we would witness a miracle. And I just kept ignoring it. Went through the whole night, ignored it the entire time, because I didn't want to look dumb. And so now, several years later, I still remember that moment where I chose not to be obedient to God. I don't know what would have happened. Maybe he wouldn't have been healed. But I believe that if he wasn't healed, then the guys that were there would have seen my heart and seen that I was being obedient to God and praying for him in spite of that, and praying for a miracle for him, being loving towards that guy. But who knows? If I had been obedient to God, I may have put my hands on this guy, prayed for him, and Jesus would have healed him right there, and we would have all seen something miraculous through obedience. I don't know, and that's kind of the problem today, is that I don't know what would have happened. And I've seen the guy since then, and I didn't feel that strong calling on me like what I did that one time. So I think because I ignored him, then he allowed that time to pass. And I hope and pray that someday there's someone that will be obedient to God if God calls him to, and pray for that guy. So that's one thing. And then I want to kind of admit to another thing, is that I am very terrible, terrible about getting out and witnessing. Like, I don't want to go out and just talk to random people. And whenever we did the Ray Comfort series that we have back there, and we followed this thing, and he was teaching us how to go out and talk about spiritual things with people easily. The other time we watched this video, and it's like, yeah, let's get out there and do this. And then you know, during that time, I'm thinking of these different places that I could go and do all this stuff, and you, I haven't gone out anywhere. It's easy for me to witness to someone here. It's easy to witness at work. It's easy to witness in all these places, but it's difficult for me to just go out somewhere like Ray Comfort does. He stands out in a public, like, park area and starts just preaching to people. And that's so difficult for me to do. But during the time that we were watching that series, and I'm trying to figure out where is it that God would want me to go out and witness people, something kept coming to mind. And I don't remember when we did the Ray Covert thing. It maybe was earlier this year, or maybe it was late last year. But we did that whole series. And the thing that kept coming to my mind is going down there to Heritage Park. Going down there and getting on the river walk and maybe sitting down on a bench and just praying for people as they walk by and trying to be part of the community, maybe get a chance to talk with some people, maybe get a chance to share the gospel if I'm speaking to some people out there. But since that time, I have gone out there exactly zero times to do that. So I've been disobedient myself toward what I felt God was calling me to do. I didn't even realize that until this week. On Monday morning, I was watching a sermon at about 6 o'clock in the morning as I was studying this thing on obedience and what I'd be talking about this week, and I started thinking about that. I was like, wow, I've been pretty disobedient myself. I think in my mind, why is it that that we're not doing a whole lot after we watched that Ray Comfort series? Why are we not getting out and doing something? And I realized it's me. I'm the pastor, and I'm not actually getting out there and witnessing to people in these public places. And then there's pastors out there that they think, well, you know, it's not really my job to do that. It's my job to equip the congregation to get out and be a witness to people. And then whenever they come in here, I'll pour into their lives that way, and it's not really my job to get out there. But whenever I go back to Matthew 28, 19 and 20, it says that we need to teach disciples to obey everything. So if I call myself a disciple of Jesus, then I need to be obedient to what God commands us to do, and that's to go out and spread the good news across the world. So on Monday morning, I watched this whole thing, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to be obedient. I'm going to get this thing done. I'm going to go down there tonight, and I'm excited about it, but not really excited about it because I'm still an introvert, and I still don't want to get out there and be out of my comfort zone, but I feel like I need to do this. I need to be the leader that God wants me to be, and I need to get out there and do this. So, but I realize, you know, Monday night I've got tool time. We're going to be up here studying the Bible with guys, so I'm not going to get to go down there then. But tomorrow night on Tuesday, I've got plenty of time to get out there and do some witnessing. And then I realized Tuesday night I had to go over to Granbury and play racquetball that I'd already planned on playing with Joe up there at work. So we went and played racquetball. Then Wednesday we have the leadership meeting here, which, by the way, every Wednesday night we have a operational leadership meeting, and anyone is welcome to come and give us their ideas about things that we can do, ways we can do outreach, and things like that, and we can look at stuff. So y'all are welcome to come up there. So I've got that. Then it's like, okay, Thursday, I have nothing whatsoever planned on Thursday. Nothing. I'm going to be off work 5 o'clock. I'm going to go home, grab my guitar, and I'm just going to go down there and sit on a bench, pray for people, play my guitar, and people are going to come up there, and I'm going to get the opportunity to witness. And Thursday rolls around, and I remember that we have to go to Dallas to a truck show. And we didn't get back from the truck show until 7:30 or 8 or something. I was up there with Patrick, so I didn't get back on Thursday on time. So I didn't go down there again. And then Friday night, and I'm going to get out there Friday and get this thing done. I'll be there by 5:30, and I'm just going to witness people. I'm going to witness some awesome things in people's lives. And then on Thursday, I'm reminded that Amber has the girls up here for some kind of a girls whatever sleepover thing, and I have to watch Bud and hang out with him, and I had an awesome time hanging out with my son, watching some movies, riding on the motorcycle and stuff like that. So it was a good night. So I still didn't get to do anything. And then yesterday I didn't get anything done because I was wrapping up on the sermon. But Tuesday night of this week, I'm going to not plan anything, and I'm going to get out there and go down to the park, and I'm going to try to be obedient, and I hope that I can report back that I got to see some awesome things by being obedient to what Christ has called me to do since that time, and hopefully It's going to be some really cool things that I get to see. So I think what we can learn from the different people in the Bible, and then the obedience on my part that has is there was one day, and I may have talked about this before, where I started believing in Jesus whenever I was 6 years old. I grew up in private Christian schools for the most part, went to public schools sometimes, but then I kind of got out of the church thing. Whenever Amber and I started dating, I started going to church with her, and then we move, and I wasn't near my church anymore. Being introverted, I couldn't stand these big, huge mega churches that were all out there in the Metroplex, so I didn't go for a lot of years, and then finally one day I'm watching a video in my office with BJ, and that video led to another video sermon that I watched, and I talked about that, lukewarm and loving it, and realized that I'd been lukewarm for a long time, and I wanted to be obedient to what God wanted me to do, and through that I've seen my life change, and not because of me, because I couldn't do it. I didn't want to be singing in front of people. I refused to sing in front of people, so much so that at the Promise, I made Jesus sing a song off stage underneath the lights while I lip synced it, because I wasn't about to be singing in front of people. So God did that. Now God has me sitting up here and speaking to you guys, and I just view that is a miraculous thing, and watching the way that things have been laid out through my obedience. So if we get out there and actually be obedient to what God calls us to do, and it may not be going out and witnessing to people, it could be obedience in the way that we're treating our spouse or our children or friends or someone else, that we can, some other way that we can do something to be obedience. We can probably witness miraculous things, even if it's like someone's life being transformed into ambassadors from Jesus' kingdom down here on earth. That's a miracle in and of itself, because we're all such a mess, yet God forgives our mess and turns us into something different. It says that we're a new creation, and that's pretty awesome to me. And then I think of it's, we read our Bible. We may read our Bible daily. We may read it for hours every day, or we may read it for a little while, but we tend to read our Bible, and it's a whole different thing to just read our Bible than it is to actually take what we learn in the Bible and put it into practice and act on what the Bible teaches us to do. And whenever I think about that, the illustration that always comes to mind is Francis Chan talks about sending his daughter to clean her room, right? He says, I want you to go and clean your room. And so his daughter's like, okay. And she goes away for a little while, and then she comes back to him and says, okay, Dad, I've been thinking about it. I looked at my room, and you were absolutely right. I need to clean it. He's like, okay, well, go clean your room. Then after a little while longer, she comes back and she says, Dad, I had over a bunch of friends. We looked at my room. We saw all the things out of place and the stuff in my floor and stuff not put away. And we talked about how it would be if we cleaned up all the stuff off the floor, and how if we cleaned off all the shelves and put things away where we could find them easily and organize stuff. You're right. It would be great if that were done. I can see how that would totally change my perspective in my room. And then Francis says, and then he's just sitting there like, I told you to just go clean your room. Now just clean it. I don't want to, you're not taking kind of action. You're looking at all these things, but you're not doing anything about it. Go and do. Clean your room. And that's what I think is the difference between reading our Bibles and actually putting things into practice and being obedient to what God calls us to do. There's missionaries that you read their stories. They go off to Kenya, or they go to these jungles in these places down south of us, all over the place, and they get to witness miracles because they're being obedient to God's call in their life. We're not all called to be missionaries, but these guys are witnessing awesome things that God is perfectly capable of doing, and they've got the faith to see Him do that because they're being obedient to what He wants them to do. And that's what I think that we need to get better at doing, at being obedient to what God calls us to do. So I want to start asking Jesus where He would have us. Where does He want me? Where does He want you guys? How is it that we can be ambassadors for that kingdom, letting everyone know that Jesus came and died to save everyone, that He's alive today? I think we can look for ways to be obedient so that we can see the miraculous things that God's got in store for us. If we get to see these miracles taking place in front of us, then we get to actually be built up in our confidence in our Christian walk, right? If we got to see miraculous things on almost a daily basis, like it seemed that they did back then, and like some missionaries get to see, then that builds your confidence in the work of Christ and what he can do in people's lives. So that is where I think through obedience to God we can find confidence in our Christian life. Now I just want to pray for us and ask God to show us where we can be obedient to him and love him more. And Patrick can start a song if he'd want to, and you guys are welcome to come here to the altar to pray. You're welcome to pray right where you're sitting, but just ask God to point out to you where you can be more obedient to him. God, I just want to thank you. I want to thank you this morning for this message of obedience and opening up my heart to where I've been disobedient to you. I want to be obedient to you. I want to be the man that you've called me to be. I want to be the pastor that you've called me to be, and I need to be obedient toward you to do that. As tough as some things may seem to me to be right now, I don't know what you got planned for him. If I just act in obedience to what you asked me to do, it's scary to think about what you got planned. It would be scary if you told me to pick up all my stuff and go to some other country right now where I might be persecuted or killed for your son's name. But I want to believe you. I want to be obedient because I love you, God, and I know that all of us love you. God, I want to thank you for this building, for the air conditioning, for all the things that we've got that make us comfortable for church, God, but I want to ask you today to make me uncomfortable. I don't want to be comfortable for myself. I want to be uncomfortable for you and doing things that are just tough for me to even imagine. Because whenever I get too comfortable, I lose focus on the goal. I lose focus on what you've called us all to do, to be obedient, to go out and make disciples. God, there could be somebody down there at the park or on the river walk that is in desperate need of you right then, and you may have me placed in the perfect spot to talk with them so that you can bring healing into their life. God, it won't be anything that I'm doing except for just being there and letting you do your work. God, I want to pray for every person that's in this room here today that you would show them where they can be obedient to you, that you would open up their hearts and minds to what you would have them do so that we can start to witness miraculous things, even if the miracles are someone that's just coming to the knowledge of your son and what he did on the cross so that they can be saved and go to be in heaven with you for all of eternity. It's hard to see how special and how awesome that is. We put something like a healing or something like a blind person being able to see or something like that ahead of that forgiveness that you give to a sinful person that allows them to go from this lifetime into eternity to spend with you. But God, that's what we want to see. We want to be used by you. We want to be a church that follows your lead, that follows what you would have us do. God, I want to ask you that whenever we go out in obedience, that we feel you, that we know that you're there with us the entire time, just like you promised in that last passage of Matthew. Help us to see that what we're doing is right and in your will. Help us to love you more so that we can love others more. Help our lives to always point people back to your son. Father, we give you the glory for all of our works of life. We ask that you build our confidence in our Christian walks. And we thank you so much. Be with us as we leave here today, invigorated for you. In Jesus' name, amen.